G'day guys and welcome to the Online Computer Coaching Podcast with Tyson Anderson. A big thank you for joining in to today's podcast and going to get stuck into it straight away. And today's topic is all about how to achieve awesome grades in your IT degree or course. Now a lot of these will be very relevant to I guess any course, but got a little bit of a focus on IT, but again a lot of it will be pretty foundational, pretty self-explanatory. I'm going to sort of discuss a lot of, I guess, key points and strategies and techniques and tools you can use to, I guess, get the best out of yourself. Certainly, grades can be a bit subjective, all depending on how you do well at school. Grades for anyone can be, I guess, subjective, all depending on how you achieve as a student, how you fit into any kind of curriculum that's got a teacher involved. But look, I'll delve a little bit into, I guess, about myself and my credentials, and I don't like bragging or coming across as arrogant or anything like that, but I'll just go through sort of a little bit about myself with some of the scores I've achieved. In year 12, got an ATAR score of 80. I mentioned that in an earlier podcast, which was pretty reasonable. I think it was around, would have been the top 5 or 6 for the school in comparison to the whole of the state where I did my, I guess, year 12 obviously isn't amazing, but it's still pretty decent. And also recently finished my IT degree. You can listen to more on that one with my other podcast, finishing my degree, which I think was podcast number 2. And yes, got a degree with this distinction, which I was super impressed with. So that means basically an average of over 70. So, and a lot of what I talk about will not be about getting awesome grades, but working on the process, the method, and the mindset to get those grades. It's all good and well if you fluke a 90 or whatever somehow on a multiple choice test, but what you want to have is the foundation, the mindset, and the want to get a good score. And then it's a big process of applying all of those concepts together and getting a good result, I guess, on a consistent basis is the key. So that's certainly a big challenge in the whole overall scheme of things if you want to achieve good grades. So I'll go into a little bit about the gradings side of things. So with uni, at least with myself, there was, you either get a pass, which is 50 to 59, credit gets you 60 to 69, and a distinction gets you 70 to 79. Anything over 80 is a high distinction. So you want as many of those as possible. Each university may be slightly different, all depending on, I guess, their marking methods and processes there. And I guess you've got your traditional A through to F. Obviously, anything from C and up is, I believe it's 70 and above. It all depends on, I guess, the country, the school, the institution that does that. But generally, yeah, you'll want to be getting C's at least, if you can. I mean, it all depends. There's also some institutions which you, in IT especially, you're either competent and you can do it, or you can't do it and you get marked as ungraded. There's, so like installing an operating system or putting a system together, it could be like a certification at a community college. For those of you guys in America, if you can do it, you get a tick, you get a pass. If you can't do it, then you'll have to repeat it at another time. So there's a few ways of going about it and how certain institutions can mark those. But the big one I want to delve into is, why do you want to get good grades? The great old saying goes is, if you have a big enough why, you'll find a way how. If you have a big enough why, you'll find a way how. So certainly keep that one in mind. I've got a few little reminders on the wall that I guess inspire me when I'm sort of slightly off or need a bit of a kicker to get started again. Just reading one now. Your future is created by what you do today, and then it's got not tomorrow crossed out. I've also got another one, believe you can and you're halfway there. That was certainly motivating and helped me through some pretty tough times, especially with uni, and it all seemed overwhelming and all looked lost, and still found a way to get the job done. And I've also got the final one, which is, if you want something you've never had, then you've got to do something you've never done. That's so huge and a big inspiration for my podcast and online computer coaching dream, I suppose. Hopefully one day I can just help out the world. That is my goal. See how that all pans out. But certainly having those motivational posters, if you like, are a great help for me. I don't read them or, I guess, take them in every single day. I guess that they're more so for if I'm struggling a bit or if I happen to just read it and think, oh, wow, yeah, I suppose I should do that. So they are, again, invaluable. Must use them. They're essential to, I guess, getting a bit of success happening and, in this case, achieving awesome grades. So yeah, pretty happy with those. I'll delve into some of the key points and, I guess, tools and techniques you can use to actually get good grades. Going to all the classes / lectures. Well, that's a no-brainer, really. If you go to all those classes, lectures, and practical tasks, you're probably going to do better than the people that actually don't go to them. But truth be told, there are people that don't go to them and somehow manage to pass, and they do absolutely no work, leave everything to the last minute, and yep, it's frustrating, and yep, I've seen students that do that in the past, and they just get over the line, you scrape over, and you think, I've worked so damn hard, and they just find a way across the line. But that's a massive help. You can have, obviously, a chat with the lecturers there, either at the end of the lecture most of the time, or you can also have a chat to them in the practical class, if that's sort of the case and how it's run at that institution. That can be really helpful for those sort of questions you have, and I guess they can give you strategies as well. And of course, another, if you're doing exams, lots and lots and lots of practice exams are massive. I've found these to be so influential and very helpful, especially during my VCE years. So basically high school for myself, year 12, final year, just kept doing them and doing them. And eventually you get there on the day and all of a sudden it's not actually that overwhelming because you've seen the output, the layout of what it's going to look like, and you're not as overwhelmed because you've seen it multiple times and answered a whole bunch of questions related to sort of the types of questions you wish to expect. So practice exams, massive. Certainly get on the front foot with those even early. Always make a mark of where you went wrong first, and then that can help you shape what you need to revise if you are doing a final exam. So if you forget a certain command or something like that, you know, you highlight it and then you make yourself remember that. Absolutely. Chuck it up on your wall, chuck it on your shower, in your toilet, wherever, you're not going to forget it. And that'll be just a very helpful tool to get that drummed into the brain and in that long-term memory, hopefully for the exam. Research on Google and YouTube about the topics of activities you'll be assessed on. Again, very influential and helpful. If your whole exam's about networking, you know, you go through the OSI model, you go through TCP/IP, you go through all the Cisco, CCNA, and routing commands if they're incorporating Cisco. You go all through the command line commands such as NSLookup, TraceRT, basically anything related to networking. You'd obviously look up YouTube videos and look for the best ones, and the ones that resonate with you the most would really hold you in really good stead for when you take on that final exam, if that's what you're striving for assignments. And they can pop up a fair bit. Attack them slowly and methodically. So often you see students that just leave at the last minute, don't worry about it, and they think, oh, I'll get it at the end of today, I'll get it at the end of the next week. Oh, I'll just need a bit of a break. I'll get onto it, you know, when it's a week to go, and I'll get really stuck into it then. I leave it to the night before, and then, oh boy, it gets very stressful and very messy. You're not going to get a great result most of the time. Again, there are exceptions to the rule. If you happen to, try and do it overnight, not recommended at all. And my stress levels don't allow me to leave something to the night before. I have to almost have it done a week or two in advance before I even want to think about doing it overnight. So if you attack them slowly, you take little segments, bits and pieces out of it, and then all of a sudden, the more you work on it, the less there is, and it's essential and crucial if you want to, I guess, achieve some good results. It takes the stress away. There's so many positives of doing it in that motion, I suppose. Whenever you hit any roadblocks, not sure, ask for help. People are too proud. People have big egos. They just want them to do it themselves. They want to be the hero and, you know, sort of silently be in trouble. Reach out to mentors, teachers, lecturers, experts in the field, even your co-workers if you're working as well as studying. Past students are also a great reference source. Students that are a few years above you are a great resource because they've probably been through what you're currently doing. So that would be a good measure and certainly a great resource to utilize. And I listed a bunch of people there that can certainly help and provide you with some good results. They can't do it for you, but they can point you in the right direction at the very least most of the time. Not everyone's going to be 100% helpful, but certainly utilize the resources you have there available to achieve the best possible results. Partner up with someone else, even if you want to be cheeky and find the best performing student or you know who's the best student in the class and befriend them. It can seem a little bit, deceitful, but could be a little bit of a test. You know, you might make a great friend and also be able to utilize some of your skills to some of their weaknesses. So it can be a win-win for everyone if you utilize, I guess, people and resources in a proper way. Don't be like, hey, mate, you know, can you just help me out with this question or you only contact them when you need help? Befriend them. Be a good person to them. Just be normal, I suppose. Don't eke them out for all they're worth. So be a good guy or girl about it, for sure. And revision is one that often gets overlooked. And let's be honest, I wanted to implement this, but didn't do it often enough. But revise what you learn each day. Or every week, you go through the key points of all the subjects or the main subject you're studying for. I wish I did more of this and maybe I could have achieved better results, but still pretty happy with how I went overall. So you certainly, it's pretty much just reading through the notes. And then I guess mind mapping is another little tool or technique you can, I guess, implement to see how much you've remembered. And it really sort of gets the brain ticking. And mind maps really sort of outline what you sort of are aware of, what you know, and also outlines what you're not too sure of, the things you forget. So it can be a good tool there to utilize, as I've sort of reiterated. There'll be a lot of tools and utilization and implementation. That seems to be the main words I'm saying, the key words there. For the best memory of remembering something, teach someone else. Teach someone else how something works. If you know you want to teach someone how the OSI model works or all the layers of the OSI model, if you teach someone, you will not forget it nearly as easily as you would listening to it, watching a video. So I think audio, video, listening to a lecture are all sort of down the bottom of that pyramid. If you teach someone a concept, you're less likely to forget it. And also, it outlines how much of the concept you're actually aware of or how much you actually know of the topic. So you get a great gauge of where you're at based on if you can't explain it simply, you don't know it well enough. That's harsh and sometimes I don't always agree with that, but it's basically the truth. If you don't know it well enough to explain it in layman's terms to, I don't know, say a 10-year-old or a 5-year-old, then you don't know it well enough. Extenuating circumstances where it's a very complicated concept, like maybe subnetting, for example, if you want to call that complicated. That, again, that's subjective. That's something I've had troubles with in the past. So there you go, a little bit more insight on myself there. You can also record notes at lectures and even re-listen to notes if you write them out and then speak them out onto, say, your phone, iPod, iPhone, whatever your recording device. And you can re-listen to them. Maybe sound very boring if you're on the bus. You know, you listen to your previous notes that you've written. And certainly that's another way of just learning other than hearing your lecture. You've got your own notes from yourself and that can be a nice way to remember some more content. And when revising content, always go with the unfamiliar stuff first. I guess once you become aware of what your weaknesses are in terms of concepts or any content in regards to the particular course, you always want to go with the unfamiliar stuff. So then because once you know stuff, you're more than likely not to remember it. If you go with the unfamiliar content, you certainly at least sharpen the weaknesses, which can help you get across the line if you're trying to get a pass. But more importantly, it'll help you get an even greater score if you're attending to those weaknesses. Getting a pass is all good and well. Most people can. It's the people that work on what's difficult and what most people won't get is what's going to separate you. If there's one message to take out of that, that's the key point. Organisation. I'll talk about communication. I'll tell you what, organisation, I love it nearly as much as communication. You guys know I just love to harp on and on about it. Always be a few weeks in advance with when things are due, what lectures are where, when, and also what sort of work you need that is due, and pretty much just be prepared as if, you know, there's a surprise test, you know, the next week you don't expect. Always just plan for the worst case scenario. Don't, you know, people are always too loose with time. And people always think they have all the time in the world. I think it's called Parkinson's Law, you'll basically have as much time as you make the time expand for the particular task, something along those lines. It's not exactly how it sounds, but some people can have 10 hours to do a task, they can stretch it out to 10 hours, even though it might be a 1 hour task kind of thing. Same as like an assignment. It's due in 4 weeks, takes them 4 weeks to do it, but in reality it takes 3 or 4 days. So it's essentially along those lines. Just be organized. It'll help you in the long run. It'll help your stress levels, and it'll help a lot, help you invaluably. So take that on board for sure. And feedback is another key point I wanted to touch on. Always ask for detailed feedback from your lecturer or teacher to see what went wrong if you didn't get 100% on a test, or if you didn't assemble a computer correctly, for example, if you got sort of one of those little assessments. Ask what went wrong, ask what you should have done and what you could do better next time. So then you actually do get a key lesson out of it, and you sort of know, you learn your lesson and you don't make that same mistake again. It's all about learning and not making mistakes twice. Don't want to do that. And the final point I'll touch on, it's going to be really boring, really generic, and everyone knows it, but no one actually does it. Plenty of good sleep. You want 8 hours a night, and that's a stretch for a lot of people, especially in the IT world. I find it tough to sometimes get that 8 hours and then roll into work, and I've had 7.5 and I still feel off. So 8 to 8.5 is awesome. If you've got insomnia, I feel sorry for you, but hopefully that's not the case for most people. Plenty of exercise, healthy balanced diet will go a long way as well. Again, you want plenty of veggies, plenty of fruit, you know, not too many KFC or Macca's runs, and keep those down to a minimum if you can. Half an hour of intense exercise a day, as they all say. These are arguably as important as the rest of them, because this is the absolute foundation to be able to get you to implement all the rest of those. So those are the key points, strategies, guidelines, frameworks to get good grades. Those are at least things that I've implemented, 95% of them, and they've certainly held me in great stead. But it's all about the why. Why do you want good grades? Do you want them because your mum told you you need to get good grades, or do you want them out of pride? For me, again, without being, you know, full of myself, I wanted to get good grades, mainly for pride. I was too scared of failing, so when I did a bit better than I expected, it actually made me look a whole lot better than maybe I perhaps did. So, yeah, got to really assess why you need those good grades, why you want them, assign plans, goals, and have those guidelines sort of framework for you so you can get to the best results you're after. So in summary of this podcast with achieving awesome grades, I've sort of gone through a little bit about my credentials and sort of my results. Nice ATAR in year 12, sort of the end of high school, degree of distinction in IT, which really helped me. And as I've reiterated a lot, you want to have a great why. If you have a big enough why, you will find a way how. Write that down on your wall, whiteboard, whatever you've got on hand, and stick it up somewhere so you can see that, and it will resonate you with you quite significantly. If it's a big enough why, write it down. Just write it down, and you will see some great results. And I've also gone through a whole bunch of techniques that will help you get some better grades. gone through those, just going to all the classes, asking for help, you know, the simple stuff, getting good sleep, recording notes, re-listening to them, getting on top of things early and those types of things. So that's it for me today. Thank you very much again for tuning into the podcast. Really appreciate your time. Once again, muchly appreciated. And feel free to subscribe to me on iTunes. Leave a rating, an honest rating. If it's 5 stars, it's amazing. Thank you very much. Whatever suits you, really. So feel free to check out the website for more podcasts and tutorials and handy resources on my website at onlinecomputercoaching.com. And you can find the show notes for this one at onlinecomputercoaching.com/EP5. And that'll sort of summarize the key points I've mentioned in this podcast. So without further ado, thank you once again for listening, guys, to the podcast. And I'll catch you guys on the next one.